ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Before politics, Stephen Miller was a classic high school troll.
And I will do things that no one else in their right mind would say or do.
But what happens when an edgelord starts pulling the strings of Homeland Security?
We're a superpower. We are going to conduct ourselves as a superpower.
How far can he push the envelope before he burns out? I'm Matt Bevan. On my show, if you're listening, we take the scenic route through the corridors of power. New episodes on ABC Listen every Tuesday and Thursday.
Jez, can you remember the last time you felt bored?
I feel like it happens routinely.
Oh, yeah.
And I very swiftly move to stimulate myself, possibly overstimulate myself with the most mindless scrolling.
See, I think I get a bit bored scrolling.
Does that count as boredom, though? Because it's this kind of weird sensation of being bored,
yeah,
but stimulated at the same time.
I think that's a new thing. I think it exactly encapsulates our era, actually. But that's what I want to talk to you about today, Jez, boredom.
Hey, it's Jez and Jules here with a bonus episode of Not Stupid. And Jules, we're going to talk about boredom this episode. And look, I want to know, how do you define boredom in a modern context?
How would I actually define it? I think it's when you're looking for stimulation. Gosh, I've never even thought about how to define it myself. I don't get bored very much. It's very rare for me to get bored, actually, because I like just sitting and having a think. But I get bored when I have to listen to other things. If someone gives a speech and it's too long.
Say no more.
You know what I mean? When you're forced to, like when you can choose to do something. I don't know. How do you define it? I know I've got a definition
written
somewhere.
I think of when I was bored when I was a child.
Yeah.
It would literally be no stimulation, staring at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily listening to music, like literally looking out the window at a tree.
And being conscious of it.
And being conscious of it and just kind of looking at detail. I mean, that's just kind of – but I think as I've gotten older, I think there's a certain guilt attached to unproductive time.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So then I kind of feel like I need to stimulate, but I feel like quite often it's just busy work, just you know, kind of moving things around here and there. And I know there are certain things I need to do, but I'm just going to scroll and I'm going to – I need to find my pick of the week
or
whatever.
I think when you get sick, you can get bored because your options are limited.
But that lasts for like how long? Like 5 hours. The last time I was sick, I was calling everyone I knew and saying, I'm so bored, entertain me over the phone. Tell me something.
Yeah, because otherwise you will just end up scrolling. Okay, let me just give you this definition. There's a 2023 paper. And the reason we're talking about this, by the way, is we're just trying to work out if this article that's out in The Atlantic, which I'm about to speak about, is actually true, whether parenting is boring and whether boredom is different these days.
This is a very loaded question.
Let me just give you the quote for what it is. It's a 2023 paper. Boredom is a state of mind characterized by a lack of interest, stimulation, or challenge. It's a subjective experience that can manifest in a variety of ways, including restlessness, apathy, and disinterest. Boredom can be caused by lack of external stimulation or by internal factors such as lack of motivation or sense of purpose. It can arise from routine tasks, repetitive activities, or lack of novelty. So you get a sense of time dragging. I think that's it. Time going slowly or being in a monotonous routine. It can also arise from unmet expectations or a discrepancy between our desires and current reality, which takes me to, Jez, a man called Daniel Smith. He's an author, wrote a piece for The Atlantic called Boredom is the Price We Pay for Meaning. Now, what he discovered when he became a father, that he became very bored. From a life of freedom and agency, it had entered a life of constriction and tension, of white noise machines, parenting manuals, and fatigue. He said that it was 4 a.m. one morning and he was bouncing his daughter who had colic, and he thought of the line from the writer Nora Johnson, being a parent isn't about nobility or beauty, pride or pleasure. Well, of course, but we'll get to that. Rather, it is a simple, nerve-wracking, mindless, battering ram process of trying to teach a savage to use a fork. Which is a little bit funny.
That's harsh. You gotta be.
And then he listed, he's like, oh, yeah, you have these rapturous moments, but months and years of blunt, basic boredom, of playgrounds, of picture books, Cheerios, pasta, peanut butter and goldfish. The boredom of the demand, again, do it again, daddy, say it again, play it again, 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 again. Talk to me, Jez. What do we make of this?
I get really tired of parents who complain about parenting.
They're right.
This is my hot take, right? So yep. I don't spend nearly enough time with my daughter as I'd like.
Yep.
And I am jealous of people who get to spend time with their kids all the time as they please. When I see my daughter, I overwhelm her with affection that she says, can you just be normal?
How's that going?
I am not normal, and I've told her, too bad, like, normal's not fun.
You went, ooh, what yeah, do you do when you talk?
100%. Like, yep. That's how I get her out of bed, is that I'll give her one kiss, three kisses, five kisses, and the longer she stays in bed, it turns into like a Woody Woodpecker sort of situation, like, until she gets out of bed. I know what this guy means about, like, the pace of parenting a young child when you're accustomed to being an independent sentient being with a job and a relationship and people to see and things to do, to just parenting one person and spending hours on end with them. But I reflect on that now, and I'm not quite sure whether it's boredom or a failure to engage with the moment.
Yeah, but you can't engage with every moment when you're doing the washing up and sterilizing bottles for the 15th time that day, and the kids just tip something out on the floor again. Like, there are moments where you are doing it, where it's kind of manual labor again and again and again. Like, I did find this guy, there were moments, and we'll get to that, where I was like, mate, just kind of pull yourself together. Also, because my kids are teenagers now, I miss those little
I guess that's my point of view. It's like the retrospective kind of go, I would actually do anything to go back to that time and engage with it in a different way.
Yeah, because they were just so nuts. But there are times, we have to acknowledge that there are times of exhaustion for sure. Like, and I do think time and time again in a playground, actually, I'm sorry, it can get a lot when there's nothing for a parent to do to sit there for 3 hours, whatever. But one thing I did to get my head around that, and I had many years of single parenting as well, is that I read once where someone said, like, being a mother or being a parent is like a monastic discipline. You will do things over and over again. You will rise early. You will clean. You will rinse. You will do it all over again. You will deal with someone who cries for 5 hours in a row. And in a way, it's like, there's something that's just about, you're devoted to it, to something other than yourself, and that's a good thing.
Yes. And also, I can't eliminate choice from this.
Yes.
As well. Like, you know, when you're sick.
Right.
It's not necessarily your choice and you're really bored and you're on the couch and you're not feeling great. But when someone makes a choice to do something like have a child or have a particular job or whatever, and then complains about the boredom that it spurs, I kind of think, well,
you chose it.
You chose it.
Do you know
what? It's not someone's job to compensate you for that.
So I used to think, like, before I started doing a PhD, no one went, oh my gosh, you're going to lose sleep. You're going to lose income. You're going to be bored out of your mind when you're doing through all those footnotes. People don't go, wow, you've really got a whole lot of boredom ahead of you. But when you have a kid, everyone's like, oh, you're not going to sleep. Your life is ruined. I used to call them the just you waits. Oh, you saw a movie today, did you? Well, just you wait. You might be doing that again. You had a sleep in or whatever. I feel like there's a lot of kind of negativity. But by the same token, you've got to warn people that a lot of it is a drudge, that it is bliss.
Yeah, but you didn't go out there writing an article about, like, I'm Julia Baird and I had to write, you know, 15 pages of footnotes before 9 a.m.
Yeah, well, everyone would be like, mate, get over yourself.
This was your choice.
Yeah, it was my choice, absolutely. But, you know, I did also – one thing that also struck me with that article is that kind of separating the cerebral from the domestic, that the only meaning can be – you know what I mean? That the real part of it is. So he writes – it's Sunday morning in winter. I write for a couple of hours at my desk and the work is slow. I'm going over my notes. Da da da. Soon enough, it's time to watch the kids. I enter the kitchen wearing what my wife calls my haunted look. Not a great morning, she asks. I shrug. I'm practicing being stoic. The floor is littered with markers, crayons, and sheets of paper. The children are, what are the children? Ceaseless. Look, Daddy, look, Daddy, look. How nice. What a nice sticker. Well done, sweetheart. Look, Daddy, look, Daddy, look. Yes, I saw. Very nice. The four-year-old's in a questioning phase. A penguin's cold? A lion's scary? Is tea hot? What is egg? I love those questions.
I love that. Do you know I've got videos of my daughter and I look at them every single day? of exactly those moments.
Yeah.
Drinking tea out of a wooden block.
I wish I had more.
Yeah. You could never have enough. But I think there's an experience of enduring those moments.
Yeah.
And the kind of relentless kind of, I don't know, for want of a better term, mindlessness of it.
Yeah.
Versus recollecting it 15, 16, 20, 25 years later.
Yeah.
And holding it as a moment that was so precious.
Yeah. The thing is also, Jez, is that I always said to my kids, if they come and say they're bored, I'm always like, that's good for you. That's fine. I'm not bothered by that. It's very different to I'm starving of hunger.
But it's also, it's interesting that you don't then seek to entertain them.
No, because I think there's a, learning how to entertain yourself is a great thing. And if you can do it outside, even better.
But we did learn how to entertain ourselves and now we just scroll nonstop.
That's the thing. That to me is so much more boring.
Do you know what I've done to mitigate that? I've kind of been very conscious that I spend too much time on my phone. I've downloaded a language learning app and I'm doing Spanish and Indonesian.
That's great.
And I've started having dreams in both languages. And wake up very confused.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't know. I just think that there's something broader here about, remember what we were talking about when I was going on phone fasting and I said that I was away without access to the internet. It was like I'd open a window in my brain.
And you described a breeze blowing through your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember actually going to London once. I didn't have phone Wi-Fi and I had all those moments back, which is standing at a bus stop, sitting on the tube. Like I was carrying a book around with me a lot, I have to say. But even that was better. And I just, I do have to wonder if we've actually lost track of what boredom is now, because we can feel it at any given moment. You are never alone when you have a phone. But so, you know, there was this study in 2014 in another journal, which I know you read regularly, Science.
Again, chapter 3, yes.
Yeah. Journals don't have chapters, but yes, that's the one. the psychologist, Timothy Wilson from the University of Virginia. So they brought in hundreds of undergrad students and members of the community to have this experiment. So they were left alone in a room for 15 minutes, and if they wanted to, they could give themselves an electric shock. All of them had previously stated they would pay money to avoid being shocked with electricity. How many do you think chose to inflict it on themselves rather than just sit there quietly and think?
None.
67% of men.
Chose to inflict an electric shock on themselves.
Yep.
Why?
Just because they were bored. And 25% of women. That should go on one of those, you know, those, they always have those pages, this is why men die younger than women. I wonder how many gave themselves
multiple. What is that about, like, just not bearing being in your own head for that long?
I would love to see that repeated now.
It's a bit.
I would love to administer the shock. No, I'm kidding. No, but like, what if they, if you couldn't have your phone for a certain period of time?
I don't know what the answer to that is. I kind of think like I like the idea intellectually. I've got too many things to do.
Without your phone.
Without my phone.
So this old mate in The Atlantic ends up concluding that, you know, boredom is the price you pay for meaning in your life. Jez, I feel like overall you're just rejecting this man's thesis and you are just...
No, I think that's a fair, I think the headline's fair. I'm just not quite sure about blaming your children for your own boredom.
Yeah.
Children that you chose to have.
Yeah, quite right.
It's not anyone's job to sympathise or, you know, I think we can share kind of a common understanding, but it's a privilege.
But then this goes back to, remember last week we were talking about the someone proposed to the Trump administration, like as in Nazi Germany and also Russia, I think maybe France as well, they award motherhood medals.
Yes.
Depending on the nature of the child you produce, that was in Germany, and also how many. But we had someone write into us about that, didn't we, Jez?
Yes. Lana says, you both deserve regular cake for being parents.
Yes.
Medals are not very yummy. Correct. Good idea, Lana.
I feel like your consumption of cake, I feel like it could go up when you're a parent.
Cake consumption? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it does actually.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying in Malaysia where I grew up that when you become a parent, you become, the word is bandaraya, which basically translates to the council pickup. That when you become a parent, you are the council pickup.
Yeah, what
just
about
picking stuff off stuff the floor, up. Finishing your children's food, like you just,
yes.
you just, you're there for the leftovers.
What about you're out and they just give you the junk? I'm like, mate, you're 16, I'm not a rubbish bin. It just, but it goes to, you know how there are all those happiness studies that show that the unhappiest period of a person's life, if they have kids, is the period over which they have kids and young kids. But I, that's often struck me as a really poor measure of happiness.
Yes,
and also
I would agree with
against
that.
Contentment.
Yeah.
It means that day you might be a bit more tired, you might be more harried, you've got less control over your environment. But the contentment, as you know, when you look back and get nostalgic.
And lots of parents do this, right? They look back on those days with great fondness.
Exactly. Lovely to chat, Jez.
Nice to catch up, Jules. Take care.